Shalom Aleichem, Chevra, and welcome everyone. I'd like to welcome all the Rabbanim, welcome Rebbe to this call for conference call number 107, our final call before the summer. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. I wish everyone a wonderful, healthy summer. Question one. In Parashat Shlach, the Torah lists the names of the Meraglim. Why was that not Lashon Hara? In the same Parashat, the Torah does not tell us the name of the Kosher Eitzim. In Rus, we're told Ploni Almoni. If it is not Lashon Hara to list the names of the Meraglim, why didn't the Torah list their names as well? Excellent question. On a technical level, it's a big dispute. Is there an Easter of Lashon Hara against someone who's no longer alive? The Torah is discussing people who are no longer with us, the names of the Meraglim. It's a discussion. If you look at Mishnah Berurah, Simitov, Reish Rav, Sivkot and Tezayin, you get an impression it's only Takanas Kachamim. Only if you're saying Moti Shemra, which usually means something that's not really true. That would presumably not apply in this case. However, the Ramah, Choshen Mishmat, Simen, Tov Chof, Siflam Ches, tells us that a person who says Lashon Hara al HaMeitim should go to the Kever, to Yetzir Kapora, and some understand this to be an Issur Min HaTorah. So this is a sidelight. It's a question whether there is an Issur Lashon Hara about someone who's no longer with us. On a simple level, it means someone who's alive. But again, it may be a matter of dispute. It may depend on whether they made some Yodim, a Sugi Masechta Brochas, the beginning of the third Perek. Rabbi Yoshim and Zahara talks about it over there. That's just for beginners. One should really answer that it's a Toelas. As the Chofetz Chaim writes famously in the Sefer, when it's a toelas, you may, and maybe perhaps in some cases must, say Lashon Hara, that people should learn not to repeat the same mistakes. Here, presumably, Kulam Nashim Rosh Bnei Yisrael Hema. And some say that they're listed in order of their prominence and importance, and Kolev and Yeshua are not number one and two. See how great they may have been. And nonetheless, they sinned. What we have to learn lessons from here, that a person shouldn't fall in, shouldn't make mistakes, whatever their mistake was. Rashi said they should have learned the Musar. As a matter of fact, what Musar? The Musar of Miriam precedes them directly in the Parsha of Anapal also, and she was punished for Lashon Hara, and they saw and didn't lo lochu Musar, and therefore they were punished. What kind of Lashon Hara on land, on earth? Earth is not a human being. So what the answer presumably was as follows. What was the mistake that Miriam made? Miriam made a presumption that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own decided to separate from Tzipora, and then she went and spoke about it. She spoke about it to her brother Aaron. What she should have done was gone to Moshe, not to Aaron, and say, what's this I hear? We overheard. Torah said, Elder Lameda, as Rashi explains, she went to the wrong brother. Same exact mistake was made by the Meraglim. Not Lashon Hara in a technical sense. It's not, perhaps even on a human who's died, certainly not on earth, on the ground. The answer is they made the same mistake insofar as they said bad things about Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they saw many Leviathans, as Rashi comments in Parashat Shalach. But instead of going to Bnei Yisrael and saying bad things about the land, they should have gone to Moshe Rabbeinu, same address, and asked him, what's this, so many Levites? They would have told them what Rashi says. Yeah, Hashem made Levites. It should be distracted. It doesn't see you. That's a serious lesson to be learned, not to assume things and say bad things, but try to go back to the source. Perhaps you will find out you're mistaken. Question two. When reciting Shema as part of davening, but at the wrong time, before Shkia Friday night or after Zman Shabbos morning, is there any difference when reciting it at the right time, after Tzeis Friday night or prior to Sov Zman Kriya Shema? That's a good question. We know that there are many halachas about Kriya Shema. You have to be medaktek to osi oseha. You have to be very careful in how you enunciate it, separate the letters, vavadtem, mehera, things of this nature. Presumably, these diktukim, which of course are always in order, but we're not always so careful with them. We try to be more careful when it comes to Kriya Shema. especially when you say the first pasuk of Shema with extra special kavana. You have to have kavana, what every single word means, and what Shem Hashem, Yehoyahu V'Yeh, and Echad in eight Rekiyim and four directions. The various extra kavanas, it seems to me, these extra special kavanas, well, nothing wrong at any time, are only required when it's Zman Kriya Shema. When you're saying Shema at the, quote, wrong time, you're not saying the Torah as Kriya Shema, but Torah as Tfila, and therefore these extra stringencies presumably would not be required. Question three. Should one put his head down by Tachan if the only Sefer Torah in the Aron is puzzle? The Pesukei Teshuvah talks about it in the Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Osir Aleph, and he says the answer is yes. And he says it's a good thing to do. But again, complicated the reasons. We don't know my Rebbe would put his head down even with no Sefer Torah, no Aron Kodesh at all. There's no specific halacha about this. It's based upon various sources, so there is a minig, according to these authorities, to put one head down in the Aron Kodesh, even the Sefer Torah is puzzled. Some say the Sefer Torah is not even there. Many shuls, they take the Sefer Torah out for safety reasons, and they put it away, and they only bring it out for Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and you're diving on Tuesday. So many poskim say you should fall tapas even in that kind of a case. Question four. There was a period of time during COVID when Kavur and Eretz Yisrael from Carlos was not permitted. Many families buried their loved ones in local cemeteries al Tanai. How does this Tanai work? Does the Nifta have to stipulate in a will or sometime verbally in a lifetime? This was their wish so that the Tanai should be chal? Or could any family member, wife, siblings, children, son-in-law, make this Tanai for them, even if it was not known what the Nifta's intentions were? Let's do one at a time. It's a very long question. The answer is quite clear. I consulted here with Rabbi Elchanan Zon, the expert in this field. It's clearly not a necessity for a Tanai to be made by the Nifter himself. He bought a plot in Eretz Yisrael. He was expecting that he could die with COVID-19 and he can't fly to Israel. Never entered his mind. It's clear as day he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He spent thousands of dollars on a kever there, and therefore, if it's impossible to take him there, so then the only way to do it is to bury him here and then bring him later to Eretz Yisrael. Seems to be no alternative, and therefore his intention is clear, even though he's never enunciated. And if he did not buy a kever in Eretz Yisrael, then the default position would be to bury him here, in America. We don't take everybody to Eretz Yisrael. There were those who do anyway, but in a case such as this, a person died during COVID and made no purchase of a kever in Eretz Yisrael, never said he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they want to insist and take him there, that's a stretch. So, again, we should never happen this again. Now he can fly already, but I would say it's such a case to bury him in America. B, is Kavura al-Tanai buried differently, such as not as deep or with an airline casket liner to expedite removal to the airport? So the truth is the burial itself should be identical. But, as Rabbi Zon explained to me, the proper way would to take those straps that we typically use to lower the casket, and after it's lowered, there are three people on each side, or two on each side, and one is told to let go, and one picks it up. No, leave the straps in. Pay the cemetery for them. And even better to wrap them around the casket, so that later on, when you want to pull the casket out, it'll be easier to take it out physically. And it's suggested to say explicitly by mouth, it's a kavur al Tanai, and that'll somehow make it easier spiritually, the authorities say. C, what now happens to the exhumed kever? Can the kever, quote, reuse the grave for someone else? If yes, can they simply bury it, or must there be some procedure? So the answer is permissible to bury, as long as the cemetery agrees. Suggestion is made, when you're burying the second person, dig deep down, deeper than the original kever was dug, and the initial covering of the second maze should be with the dirt which was never dug out before, never excavated before. That's what should be done. It's always important to tell whoever buys the kever subsequently, shouldn't be a chashash of mekachtos, or anything of this nature, if it's being sold from family A to family B. Next. That's the next question, C is the two C's. If the grave can be used again, must the family of the nifta be supposed the body was once buried there? As I said before, it should, we don't try to withhold information. D, the family that exhumed the nifta is asking for their money back for the purchase of the kever, so they're not caught using it. Is that a fair claim? That's an excellent question. On a simple level, no. You bought the kever. It's yours to use. You want to reuse it. You want to sell it. That's your business. You can't ask the cemetery for the money back. That's a simple. I was told there was one particular situation where during COVID they knew that people were burying all tonight, that they charged less money in the first place. Okay. That's the one. Any deal you make is okay. But if you made no deal, you pay the full price. You want a refund, it's not coming to you. If the cemetery allows, you can reuse it for someone or presumably sell it to somebody else as well. Next question four. There's a couple of doubles. Until what age may children eat meat or chicken, including Shavua Shechalbo? Can one be Somech on the Chayodim that allowed haircuts for Ketanim until age 13 of the Shavua Shechalbo? The part of the same reasoning to chicken and meat. That's an excellent question. So, the Mishnah Brewer, it's him in Tavkuf Nunalas, says, called an ayin, looking bare hate of this, called an lamed, they quote the Mamad Avram, until the age of 9, that's the time when a person is roared to cry about the Churban. Others say no, age of 6, which is Hegiel the Chiduch in general. Chayodim, it's quoted by the Mishnah Brewer, says, called an pebeis, until 13 years, it's okay until Shavuot Shechalbo is mentioned. This year, of course, Tishah is on Sunday. There is no Shavuot Shechalbo. So that would be a greater leniency. So to some, there are three different opinions. One should be strict when possible, but one could be lenient when possible as well. Question number 5. Siyum HaBris Bar Mitzvah, may all guests eat meat, even Shavuot Shechalbo. So here, there are more rights in Sif Yud, that if there's a Milah or a Siyum, Kol HaShayochem LeSuda. Whoever's connected to the meal may eat meat. What does that mean? The Mishnah Brewer explains in Sukkot Ayin Hay, whoever would eat there the rest of the year. In other words, you can't just be a wise guy and come because it's a Shavuot Shechalbo or a Tishah for the 9 days. You would have come last week, you would have come next week. That makes you shayach to the Simcha. Then you'll not eat. Otherwise, it's a carpet bagger just coming only in order to eat. You only come during that week. Then you may not eat. The minig is to be makel even Shavuot Shechalbo. The Ramah, Mishnah Brewer, has caught an iron diet, quotes such an opinion, but our minig is to be makel even Shavuot Shechalbo. Again, all guests, the guests that would have come the week before the next week. Next 5B. On most of Shavuot was Shavuot and Matavos, can live music be played? Is live music permitted at Bar Mitzvah, Shavuot Brachos in the 3 weeks? So, most authorities assume, if you look at Pirkei Teshuvos, footnote 49, that the Bein HaMetzorim begins the night before. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik held that way, and many others. As opposed to Rav Moshe, Nigras Moshe, Kelik Aleph, and the Kuf Samachai says, no, it only starts in the morning. So the Rav folks can say no, and therefore, for those who don't play music in the 3 weeks, should not play music this coming Moshe Shabbos as well. It's relevant to Malav HaMalkos, etc. However, as far as Shavuot Brachos are concerned, that's a different story. If you look at Pirkei Teshuvos, there's footnote 91. There are Moshe's Mekel. I thought that's correct. Because the person gets married, he gets married today. Today is before the 3 weeks, but the Shavuot Brachos goes into the 3 weeks. We shouldn't penalize it. We try to encourage people to get married. So therefore, I would say that it applies to Sphira, 3 weeks. For us, the 9 days is impossible because we don't get married in the 3 weeks, but if it's the wedding is at a proper time, in my opinion, the Shavuot Brachos can take place in full measure with singing, with dancing, with music, because of the Simchas Chatan Kala, which is permitted, even though it's now into the 9 days. Bar Mitzvah, I don't think that's true. Bar Mitzvah, you can plan whatever you want. So make the, if you want to make a bar mitzvah party with music, make it a different time. You know, we had a son who was bar mitzvah in Sfira, so we had a little mitzvah, you know, family on the Shabbos, but we postponed the mitzvah with the music and the dancing until Lag BaOmer. So too over here, if a person wants a bar mitzvah with music and dancing, postpone it until after the 9 days are over. Six. They wanted expensive gifts for bar mitzvah, bris, engagement during the 9 days. So we say it's like a priyas chof. If not, can they give it with a stipulation that the receiver should have in mind not to be kona the item until afterwards? Now, what's the iser? What's the iser of giving a gift? The iser presumably is receiving a gift. That's kona kelim chadashim, which is called the halacha shulchan aruch. I don't think it's priyas chof. I don't think so. I don't think it's even a heter of not to be called until afterwards. The simcha that you have it, I don't think that is that those loopholes work. On the other hand, shas atzchak, perhaps the Easter doesn't apply at all. That's question number seven. They want purchased expensive items, furniture, clothing, jewelry online that will arrive afterwards based on the fact that one doesn't acquire the item until he receives it. The payment made is merely a kabbalah sachrayis from the seller. The Mishnah Berurah, Tzivkod Yon Aleph, prohibits buying clay kesef and other valuables. Moshe has that egress Moshe, Chela, Gibelson, and Pei. Look at Pitzke, Chubas, Osir Aleph. To order it, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tzivkod Yon Aleph, even that's not allowed. Mishnah Tzatzak is Mekel to bring it to the house after the 9 days are over. So one has to use the judgment to see whether that Mizdiyasi should be applied in these cases. Eight, if one needs to drink liquids on Tisha B'Av due to an infection, can they eat as well, being that they are not fasting anyway? Piskei Tshuvas, Siman Tov Kuf Nun Dalet, footnote 40, says you should not eat. Kosa Chasam Sofer, or Rechaim Siman Kuf Nun Zayin. There he says if you're drinking, you shouldn't eat. And aside from everything else, the assumption is made that you're only supposed to eat and drink what's necessary to prevent you from illness, not more than that. Other posts say not that way. Against the Chasam Sofer. And they say that, as we shall see soon, that it's not like Yom Kippur. Once you break the fast, it's broken. You can have more as well. And there are those who maintain that water which is taken just to take down medicines for medical reasons, it's like a refuah, and it's not Hashoser Ma'amit small. There would be no bracha of shak on the Yibidboro, and perhaps not considered breaking the fast either. So I'm not sure it's correct, but it's an afkamina l'chumra. Someone who has to drink, for the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, should drink only water, because maybe it's not considered breaking the fast. That being the case, if that's true, if you have liquids on Tisha B'Av for an infection, if water is sufficient, an additional reason not to eat, because maybe drinking water, you've not broken the fast at all. B, if one is taking antibiotic that requires them to eat, are they obligated to fast the rest of the day? Is there a difference between Tisha B'Av and Shavuot Sabbatah? Another good question. According to the Chasam Sofer, we certainly have to fast the rest of the day. I don't think it's different between Tisha B'Av and Shavuot Sabbatah. It's based on the B'Alo. There is Sivov, Divrei Basel Divrei Malkom, who says, Pogos Midyashir, like on Yom Kippur. However, most Poskim disagree. You look there in the Dirshu, footnote 29, from the Kaf HaChayim, and the Aruch HaShulch, and the Ol Etzion, and the Shevet HaLevi. Say, no, based on the Avnei Nezer, Tisha B'Av is the Rabbona, and there's no Gzera whatsoever for Chol HaShem HaSakona, and therefore, once you have that status, you let it eat whatever you want. The Psak is quoted in the footnote 28 from the Brisker Rav, Chayim, and Chazon Ish, and Rabbi Yoshev, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and even Rabbi Nissen Karelik, even the Chasam Sofer, only is referring to a case we're not sick yet. You shouldn't become sick. If you're already sick, then he would agree that once you eat, you can continue eating, because it's a dinder rabbanan and lo gazru b'makom kol hashem b'sakana at all. Question number nine. Clarify the guidelines and parameters of nursing and pregnant women on Shavuot Sabbatah and Tisha B'Av. Shavuot Sabbatah, they do not fast. Siman Tov Kuf Nun Sif Aleph. Yes, There are those who say they should be strict if they can, but we're not looking for strict when it comes to situations of a pregnant woman. We try to make whenever we can. The Talach allows her to eat, we should tell her she should eat. And the Dershi, they quote, especially Shiva Subatamas, which is very hot, they shouldn't fast at all. That's what I think. Now, even those who are making on Tisha B'Av, there's some Karelas, some Shlomo Zalman, hot weather, they say we're weaker than they used to be. This is not a simple shot. The Furusha did in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, they should fast on Tisha B'Av. But I guess it depends on the particular case. Most Poskim say they should fast, lest they're going to get sick. Okay, all this is with respect to pregnant women. Again, the Tavkuf Lundal Tzatei, they should not fast other fast days. However, Tisha B'Av is more chamor, more strict. Again, obviously if she doesn't feel well, she has to break the fast, but in this false position, she should not fast on Shabbat Shabbat Thomas. She should fast on Tisha B'Av. As far as nursing, the Shari Tshuva there says, it's a Kodan Dalit, that if the child is only having the mother's milk, he needs the mother's milk, one could be more lenient. Others say, if the milk will change somehow based on the fast, then it may damage the baby, and then you can drink, you perhaps eat. Even if the baby does take some, it's quoted from the Chazon Ish, you're not required to find other milk and formulas. You'll let her break the fast. This is the Chazon Ish that she tells you. Even on Shabbos, he has leniencies about pumping and treating babies with nursing mothers because it's considered to be healthier than the mother's milk. But of course, every situation is somewhat different. Question number 10. Can the fleshik seem be made by a yeshiva student during the 9 days whose intention wasn't to schedule it for the 9 days in particular, but set a goal, for example, a daf a day from when school ended, and finishes during the 9 days? The answer is yes. Our minhag is even to schedule siyum for that. Certainly in this case, it's a proper siyum. 11. If one bought an old house and is repainting the inside, should he leave a place unpainted Zeich of the Churban? In general, exactly where should the Zeich of the Churban place be left? So number one, it's important to know that the if you look at Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Samach, the Heker in Sif Aleph is that it should not be plastered properly. Not the painting. Once the plaster is up perfectly, it's a matter of painting, there's no obligation to leave it unpainted. It's just that's what the Heker of the Gemara requires. So therefore, in this situation, assuming that everything is an old house, everything is all the walls are fine, it's a matter of painting, there's no need to leave anything unpainted Zeich HaLekurban. When there is an obligation, such a situation, you buy or build a new house, and you want to leave out an Amal Amma, it should be left as soon as you walk in through the front door. That's the place where the Tenegat HaPesach, the Tavkuf Samach Sif Aleph, that you see it when you walk in. That's the Mishnah Berurah right there in Sifkot and Gimel. 12. During the 9 days, what exactly are the parameters of washing up? Nowadays, people generally shower daily and feel extremely uncomfortable if they don't. Good question. We'll take one at a time of 12 as well. Look, there are more rites in Siman Tov Kufnan Aleph Sif Tes Zayin Noegin Shalom Lirchos Afilu B'tzonei Kol Gufo Mishnah Berurah Tzadik Beis. That's the minig. It's only a minig. It's only a minig, but you know, it's an important minig because to say the Churban, we don't want to take the Churban lightly. It's quoted. It's permissible to get rid of sweat. If you look there in Moshe Chelik Dalet from the Pei Dalet, the Dershah quotes it there, footnote 109. So the person is sweating, you're allowed to take a shower to get rid of the sweat. And that could happen easily in hot summer. Rabbi Yoshev is quoted as saying only with cold water. The Chazon Ish is not even in cold water. It seems to me that a person should be strict. Zeich HaLekurban, it's a minhag Yisrael for years. Unless there is, he's actually dirty from sweat. You play basketball, you're sweating, then it's okay. Can't Mar Shara have a 9 days volleyball tournament? One of the reasons being that you get all sweaty and supposed to take a shower the choladeus. So, but just a little sweat. Everyone sweats a little bit in the summer. That would not necessarily be a reason to be maker. I prefer people to be machmer. That's what I do myself. Even though I usually take a shower every day, but not in the 9 days. And, you know, for those who need it, deodorant works. You know, that's solve the immediate problem. Question B. Was halacha on Erev Shabbos in the 9 days? Is there room to believe it was hot water, soap, and shampoo? There are more rights. Person who showers every Erev Shabbos. I'm sure that includes all of us here. Then, it's okay to have hot. The Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Tzadivav wants to say it's not permitted to use soap. Chazanish is making with soap. I think there's room to be lenient over here. If every Friday you use soap, which you certainly do, shampoo. Dershul footnote 113 quotes. Chazanish, I think it's permissible. C. Additionally, what is the proper minute during Shiva when it's very hot? That's a different story completely. Shiva is a halacha, not just a minute. If it's a halacha, a person should try very hard to be strict. There is a concept of istinus, but there the Shulchan Aruch writes, not everyone who says istinus really is, it should be avoided. I unfortunately had to observe Shiva two times in the hot summer, and we didn't shower, we used deodorant, which I think is mutter. That's a Shiva, but it's a strict halacha. There is a chumrah of the Ramah. You don't take a bath for a whole month. That chumrah, I think, does not apply at all with Zman Hazeh, for the very reason that was mentioned, that nowadays people take showers every single day. We're not looking for chumrahs beyond the Gemara, except, again, the minig of the 9 days, even though it's not based on the Gemara proper, Mat and Mitzvah in general, yeah, I think we should be strict whenever possible because we should feel the chumrah properly. Next question. Number 13. Many of us take a tannis eating pill before a fast. It helps with caffeine withdrawal and as an appetite suppressant. For it to be effective, it must be taken as close to the tannis as possible. With Tisha B'Av beginning Motzei Shabbos, can this pill be taken on Shabbos? That's a good question. Another question. Can this pill be taken on Tisha B'Av? Well, the two may go together. If it can be taken on Tisha B'Av, let's say without water. I don't know how big these pills are. Presumably that would be better to avoid any shaila or refua on Shabbos or maybe even hachana on Shabbos. However, if we're going to paskin, you should not take it on Tisha B'Av, presumably because you have to drink water, and water, as we mentioned before, is fute, what kind of status it has, maybe less than a shear, maybe make a little bit bitter water. But most people just take it with regular water. Then it's not such an option to take it on Motzei Shabbos, just Tisha B'Av. So then the question becomes, may you take it on Shabbos? So there are two questions, refuah and hachana. Hachana does not apply if you assume that you're not allowed to take it on Motzei Shabbos, which at least the chatchila we generally assume. It can't be done Motzei Shabbos. That's not called hachana. Hachana means I'm doing something now because it's easy for me to do it now to save time to do something else after Shabbos is over. That's called hachana. But what if you wait till the Shabbos? It's too late. It's a Mefurash and Gemara. Can't do HaTorah Sedarim. You can do it later. But you can do HaFarah Sedarim. Once it gets dark, it's too late. You can't do it anymore. For this reason, the Pesukim say you can put food away into the refrigerator. Wait till the Shabbos, it's going to get ruined, etc., etc., etc. It's not called HaChana. So if you can't take it on Motzei Shabbos, because the Halacha says, the Shiloh on Tisha B'Av, maybe it's considered breaking the fast, and water, then it's impossible. Then there's no Issur HaChana whatsoever. Okay, Issur Refuah? Don't think so, because the person is taking these pills, otherwise they'll get a migraine, or something along those lines, which would be considered a chola kol aguf, a chola she'ein bo sakana. And chola she'ein bo sakana, we say it's mutter to take medicine on Shabbos, and kal v'chomer, which is to prevent medicines, which prevents illness. Some folks can say that preventing the medicine is not included in the gzeir shchikas samamonim. I'm not going to go into those details right now. So either way, I would say that it's permissible in circumstances to take it on Shabbos itself without water. I mean, excuse me, on Shabbos with water if you cannot take it on Tisha B'Av without water. Next question. The depository version of this pill be done on Shabbos on Tisha B'av? The answer, I think, is yes. So why do it on Shabbos? I mean, do it on Tisha B'av itself. That's what I would recommend. Next question. 14. Food that was heated up on Shabbos for a chola, can a non-chola eat from the leftovers while it's still hot or after it cooled off? If yes, how it cooled off, defined. The Gentile was heating up food for the chola and specifically, without being asked, put in more for the non-chola. What is the halacha? Does it make a difference if they heat it simultaneously with the chola's food or one after the other? Let's answer the second question first. It's prohibited. It's prohibited. We look at Shulchan Aruch 7, Shin Yud Ches Beis. If it's done by Yisroel for chola shesh v'sakana, it's usher another person to have it. Why? Shemo yarbe b'shvilo. He may add more, which would be terrible. That would be a terrible thing. And it seems to me that one can make an argument that this is true not only for cooking, but also for heating. It's not completely clear because heating is not a melacha d'oraisa if it was cooked from before, ain bishel, acha bishel. So it's to review. So if it's being done by a Jew for chol sheyesh b'sakana, shulchan aruch b'feresh is b'feresh, and shittit chaz beis, we may not have it if it's cooked. Heated is a little bit of a bigger question. And if it's done by a nachri for chol, even if she ain b'sakana, so presumably it would be prohibited. Look there in the mefarshim. For the same reason, Shem Yarbe Bishvilo, he made move to war, it's not allowed. 15. A pushka was dropped off at the shul, the family said they put stock in the pushka for the shul. However, print on the pushka is a well-known motion. Can the shul keep the stock? I think the answer is yes. If they take the word of the person that he's meant to give to the shul, he didn't notice this in the back somewhere about the motion. He gave it a manas to go to the shul, goes to the shul. 16. Hefzik and brachas. A. If the chasen and kalas speak under the chuppah during Sheva Brachas, they have to say Baruch Paragafen before they drink the wine. Could they be somech on the Baruch Paragafen they heard previously for the Masada Kiddushin? This is a really tough question. Very difficult question. Because if you tell me it's somech on the Baruch Paragafen they heard previously for the Masada Kiddushin, then what right is it to make a second Baruch Paragafen to give to the chasen and kalas to drink on the second coast? They should be somech on the original Baruch Paragraph. So some want to say it is a hefsek. You read the ksuba, it's a hefsek, whatever the hefsek, between the kedushin and the nisuin. Well, if that's the case, they can't rely upon the Baruch Paragraph that they heard earlier either. So it's a bit complicated. I always tell the chosn kala, not allowed to speak for the time they've made the Baruch Paragraph on the second coast till they actually drink. Usually they listen to me. If they would not, so it's a matter of the rabbinic judgment how to handle the situation. B. It is a hefsek for people listening to Avdallah to make their own brachas on the candle and the besamin. No. Maisa b'chol yom is that way. Mein yona. C. If people talk while the besamin passed around, are they yotze Avdallah? Yes. It's better not to do it, but yes. They are certainly passed around. It's not part of Avdallah proper. 17. Is there a way for one to use a smart thermostat that has a motion sensor on Shabbos? It's not so simple. A regular thermostat, the basic heter is a psikresha liyachazman. It doesn't have to take effect till later, presumably. And that's a solid heter based on a shulta giborim in a sechta Shabbos. The lumdus presumably is that a psikresha is not your act proper, so it's only prohibited because what you're doing and what happens is considered chad maisa, as a lachon explains in Ksuba Simen Yud Ches. One of the same. It's only one of the same if the two happen at the same time. What I'm doing and the result in a situation such as this, however, again, typical thermostat happens later on, it's no problem. But here, if I understand correctly, it has an impact immediately. Immediately. It's not a psikresha l'achazman, it's psikresha immediately. And therefore, you must detach it. If you forgot, So some have a suggestion. I saw that you have two people going at the same time. It's not up to the creation for either one of them. Or someone doesn't know about it, so then he's allowed to go in because it's only what we call a suffix creation, which is mutter by the rabbanans. The assumption over here is that what's happening, again, in some cases would be a the rabbanan. Maybe a distinction between air conditioning and heating. Air conditioning is the rabbanan. Heating is the raisa if a furnace goes on, in which case it's a machloek is where the suffix creation would permit on Shabbos or not, since someone doesn't know where the machine is holding. B, similarly, may one use a motion-sensitive doorbell called ring. I wasn't sure what ring is. I looked it up, and it means it's a person sitting in front of a doorway. The first time it happened to me, I was shocked. I went to deliver someone in someone's house, stand in front of the doorway, and someone speaks, "Come in." I say, "Oh, are you there?" "No." They were activated from the phone remotely to let me into the house. Wow. Age of new technology. So that's, of course, a situation. If the screen works, so then it's what's called psigratia. The Nicolet, you want to know who's out there. So that's a problem. If you make the screen not to work, which is the proper way to do it, even though you can still catch the thief, because in the cyberspace, in the digital space, it's there. In my view, digital space is not a problem. You're not writing anything. No one sees anything. And therefore, it's a psychoration of lo nichole by the rabbanon. Why lo nichole? I ain't going to catch somebody. You're going to catch the thief. You want to catch the thief on the camera. You're not just catching the firm Jews who are walking in. That's what I thought. Not everyone agrees with me on that, but I think it's a psychoration for Nichle by the Rabbanon. It's better, of course, to detach it, because even the tent is not so simple. Number one, the Chazanish says all electricity is a raisa. And number two, that everyone agrees to have the psychoration for Nichle by the Rabbanon. I think it's a good hand. Rav Avadya has it in many places, but others disagree. The Mishnah Berurah is unclear. Shmir Shabbos seems to say it's prohibited. It's a double the Rabbanon, which you may have over here anyway. So it's always better to detach it, but there's more room to be lenient if necessary. And the final question 18. Is it bekavadik for a Rav to urge his members to have colonoscopies according to the medically recommended intervals? If so, how should the Rav remind them and in what format should he communicate his message? Ein kavod ela Torah. The kavadik for a Rav is to teach Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Shabbos and Chavches, the first thing a Rav has to do is to teach the love of the Pikuach Nefesh. If he doesn't teach it, and someone on Shabbos comes to ask the Rav a Shaila, Chas V'Shalom, the person can die while he goes to ask the Rav the Shaila. Chalil, the Rav is called the Shofar Domit. You have to tell people what to do to save their lives. It's the responsibility of the Rav, in my view, to take care of their spiritual lives and their physical lives. I have to have a healthy neshama, needs a healthy body. I've spoken many, I would say innumerable times in my keel over the years to follow the recommendations of the doctors. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa, in my opinion, to save lives, save your own life. That's what we call pikuach nefesh. Like a mechal Shabbos to save a life. So certainly I should save a life by taking a colonoscopy, which as I once heard from a surgeon in that area, colon cancer, he said, is a preventable disease. He was crying. So many people passed away from colon cancer. He called it a preventable disease. If you do your colonoscopies at a proper interval, I believe it's every 5 years in most situations. I've spoken about it many, many times in my shul. In my own case, I've done it, followed the medical guidelines to the T every number of years to do it. I've spoken about it from the Bima. I even spoke about mammograms from the Bima. They once had a campaign to do it in front of the mikvah, and I spoke about it. I think it could save lives. I got complaints. It's not bakovedik. And here it's also not bakovedik. Parts of the body, not bakovedik. Ein kovod ela Torah. You save one life. I'm not interested in any complaints that they don't want to hear about these things in the Shabbos drush. And as a matter of fact, that's the greatest kovod. And I think the best time to speak about it is when you have the biggest crowd. I've spoken about these Indian numerous times in Shabbat Shuvah Rushes, many times. And what I call the second part, usually, we talk about the Musa part. And that's the Musa. We used to talk about smoking. Baruch Hashem, that's been eradicated, now without Karbonus Nebuch. And I speak about people are uncomfortable. I speak now about obesity, because the doctors say that's now becoming maybe a greater killer in America, even than smoking, some doctors say. And therefore, I talk about these things as well, mammographies, colonoscopies, any other medical procedure which is done to discover something that is maybe wrong and festering in the body and could save your life, in my view, is a chi of d'oraisa. I know there's some great rabbis have a different point of view, but I'll give you my point of view. Then it's up to the Rav, as he's the chi of to see whether the balabat to follow the halacha. This is one of the halachas. And the Rav should decide what formats, what intervals. This is every rabbi to decide based upon his own community, but I believe that this is certainly a Rav's responsibility for the welfare of his balabatim. We conclude with this wonderful question. Yes, thank you for the person who asked the question, and who gives cover to the Rav by asking in that fashion. Greatly appreciate it. We should only have the Surah Thomas for all individuals. We should have a Refuah Shleima, and those who discovered earlier on, of course, have a better chance of Refuah Shleima. So therefore, I urge everybody to reason Akdimah LeMitzvahs, to do in the proper interviews, and should be blessed with Chayim Arukim. But thank everyone for listening. Wish everybody a happy and healthy summer.
Rebbe, we thank you very much. And as we conclude this year, as Rosh Hashem, we hope to call upon Rebbe again as we go into Elul. Have a wonderful summer, Rebbe, and all of you should all have a wonderful summer vacation. Speak to you soon. Thank you again. Take care.
Bye-bye.